You're listening to the Kingwood United Methodist Church Traditional Sermon Series, led by Reverend Scott Dornbush in Kingwood, Texas. Thank you for downloading.
Friday afternoon, I'd gotten the word. I mean, our phones just started blowing up. You know, you all know with social media how this works. I mean, and a new phrase has popped into our vocabulary, things blow up. God. Well, our phones were blowing up with text messages and with phone calls. And I got this message from a friend of mine, Matt Idom, who's the head of Lakeview Methodist Assembly. Matt called me and said, "Have you heard? Penny's been trying to get hold of you. Scott's had a major heart attack in the hospital." So I put my clothes on, rushed to the hospital. And as I was walking in at Kingwood, I was walking behind a couple. I didn't recognize, didn't know them. They were walking kind of slow as we were headed down to intensive care. I operated at a faster speed than that. So they were kind of scooting over as letting me pass them. Y'all have been in those circumstances. Maybe you've been the scooter, maybe you've been the scootee. Either way, okay. But they were scooting over as I was walking past, and so we entered into conversation, and I apologized for walking so fast. And they said they were headed to intensive care, and I don't know, something made me ask, "Are you going to see Scott Dornbush?" And they said, "No." The wife said, "My husband's a pastor of a church in Cleveland, but we got word about Scott, and we're going to pray for him. Our church is." Now, these are people I didn't know and didn't know Scott, but somehow that word had passed. The power of social media is extraordinary, and so the word spread quickly among the congregation, among thousands of people. We estimated today, and I saw Penny this morning, that there are literally tens of thousands of people praying today for Scott and for this congregation. It speaks to the power of prayer. Scott means a lot to us all, means a lot to Debbie and me. He is our pastor. In fact, my wife says he's the best pastor she's ever had. Well, she didn't say exactly that, but I took it that way. He's been extraordinarily kind. He and I have been in a covenant group for years together, a covenant group that came around Penny. I think all of us have been to the hospital. All pastors in this group, about nine of us, have been there to pray for her and to lift him up in prayer. She and Scott are people who believe in prayer in great ways. Lots of remarkable stories that I don't have time to go into today, and I'm sure you'll hear them in the days to come. Another pastor and I, Bert Bagley, who he and I both have had our own heart issues, we told Penny as we visited with her to look at us. We are proof that you can get up off the table, okay, after you've been counted out, okay? And that's our hope today. Now, I don't come to tell you today that we believe in a naive optimism. It's not what I want to say today. Optimism, whether naive or rooted in technology or medicine, is a wonderful thing, okay? But Christian hope is different. And I want to speak about Christian hope today and what that means to us all. It's amazing to me as I've, over these past months, watched my granddaughters more closely. Our youngest granddaughter, who is 5 years old, is very verbal, like many five-year-olds are these days. She's learning words that surprise me. And it's amazing to watch her gain mastery over her environment through the use of those words. Okay? It's how all of us as human beings gain mastery over things, is to begin to learn the language associated with different things. And she's learning those kinds of words, and she uses words that are four syllables long. I only use two-syllable words myself, but nonetheless, she uses these extraordinary words. It's pretty amazing. Okay? There's a word I want to use today in talking about hope, and that word is quintessential, okay? Big word. But I want to speak of the quintessential message of hope today that we have. Now, the philosophies of the ancient world believed that the world was made up of four elements. Okay? Those four elements are earth and air, water and fire. Aristotle came along and added a fifth element to that list of four. He called it the ether. We spell it E-T-H-E-R. By that, he meant the material that fills the rest of space that earth and air and water and fire don't fill. That's what he meant by that. Mostly, he said, was invisible. Sometimes, he argued, it took the forms of stars or of planets. And many writers, since Aristotle, since those early sages and philosophers, described this element, the ether, as a kind of invisible light, an invisible light or an invisible fire. In the Middle Ages, that element became to be referred to as the quinta essentia, Latin phrase, the fifth element, the quinta essentia. It isn't surprising for us then that the quinta essentia came to stand for anything so perfect that it seemed to surpass the limitations of the earth. Now, I want you to hear me again, okay? Anything so perfect that it seems to surpass any limitations that we might put on it. Now, the quinta essentia in Latin has become for us in English the quintessential, okay? We've all heard that English word. It's now used in ways that, rather freely, if you will, sort of a misuse of the word, but nonetheless used, to describe that which is the best of its kind. Y'all remember the movie, The Shawshank Redemption? Well, you have to remember it's on every other day, okay, on TV. Okay? Stephen King, the horror novelist, wrote the short story for that movie. Actually, the short story's name was called Rita Hayworth, okay, and The Shawshank Redemption. And there's a great line in that short story spoken by Andy, the protagonist of the story. He's speaking to another prisoner, and he says these words, "Remember, Red, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies." Well, I'm not real sure about the philosophy of Stephen King there, but I do know this. Hope is a good thing, and it ranks right up there with the best of things. Paul puts it this way, "And these three things remain." Y'all remember? Faith and hope and love. But the greatest of them all is love. We stand on a stool that's got these legs of faith and hope and love. But if you remove hope from this mix, friends, it gets pretty dicey. Now, I'm not here to tell you, okay, that my optimism, and I'm an optimistic guy, my optimism leads me to believe that everything will be okay. The Dornbushes and this church are looking at a long stretch here. No matter what happens, we're looking at a long stretch. It was a serious medical event that Scott went through and will continue to go through as he and Penny relish your prayers over these days and months to come. It's also a serious event for this church that has been through so much, not just Harvey, but deaths, okay, changes. It's been rocked in any number of ways. But we rely, friends, on that three-legged stool of faith and love that's undergirded by hope. For you see, hope is the ether in which we swim. Okay? It is that in which we swim and live in that hope. When we were building this facility and we're talking about the plaza out front, what was going on in the plaza? We had lots of conversations about it. Okay? And we decided to put a big cross out in the plaza. Okay? My guess is that many of you by now have come by that cross so many times that you no longer even notice it. Okay? But the reason it's there is not for you. The reason it's there, we put it there, is for people who just show up on the doorsteps of the church looking to swim in that ether we call hope. Out there on the base of the cross, there is an inscription that's taken from Romans, the 15th chapter. This is what Paul writes: "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." What I'm inviting you to do over these next weeks and months is to pray not only for Penny and Scott, but for these people who I'm going to call by name. These are your pastors and staff in this church. Ellen Kent, and John Wayne and Chris and Clint and Joe Carbonero, who is himself a great pastor. Jim DeGraffenried, very part-time, but is integral in the prayer life of this church. Stacy Sweet, Whitney Parrish, and Sarah Reyes, and Shelby Rushing, and Donna Smith, and Kathy Parva. All men and women who, through the pressures of simply leading a congregation, feel this burden in extraordinary ways. I want you to pray for them and pray that they might swim in hope. Prophet Jeremiah wrote to a group of distressed people, and he said these words, "For I know the plans the Lord has for you, the thoughts that God has, of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Or another word from Paul, "But just as it is written, things that no eye has seen nor ear heard or mind imagined are the things that God has prepared for those who love him." God has prepared extraordinary things for us all. And we swim in the sea of hope in the midst of life. Have faith. Love each other. Live in hope as we move forward together. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we give you thanks today for the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. For you, O Lord, have defeated evil. You, O Lord, have defeated death. And though we may still be in the skirmishes that follow that win, we pray, O Lord, we pray for Scott, that illness is overcome and health restored, and the hope that we all sense is fulfilled in him. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.